ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting this song sung by Lord Shiva, text 56. Yatra nirvishtamaranam. Yatra nirvishtamaranam. Kritanto nabhimanyate. Kritanto nabhimanyate. Vishvam vidvamsayan virya Vishvam vidvamsayan virya Shaurya vispurjita bhruva Shaurya vispurjita bhruva Yatra nirvishtamaranam Kritanto nabhimanyate Vishvam vidvamsayan virya Shaurya vispurjita bhruva Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.34, it is said that the Lord, in the shape and form of death, destroys all a person's possessions. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. I am all-devouring death. The Lord, in the shape of death, takes away everything that is created by the conditioned soul. Everything in this material world is subject to perish in due course of time. However, all the strength of time cannot hamper the activities of a devotee, for a devotee takes complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. For this reason only is a devotee free from formidable time. All the activities of the karmis, jnanis, which have no touch of devotional service, are spoiled in due course of time. The material success of the karmis is destined to be destroyed. Similarly, the impersonal realization attained by the jnanis is also destroyed in the course of time. Aruhya kritchrena parampadang tataha Patantyadho anadrita yushmat angrayaha. To say nothing of the karmis, the jnanis undergo severe austerities to attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but because they do not find the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down again into this material existence. Unless one is fully situated in unalloyed devotional service, there is no guarantee of liberation, even if one is elevated to the heavenly planets or to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. A devotee's achievement, however, is never lost by the influence of time. Even if a devotee cannot completely execute devotional service, in his next life he begins from the point where he left off. Such an opportunity is not given to the karmis and jnanis whose achievements are destroyed. The bhakta's achievement is never destroyed, for it goes on perpetually, be it complete or incomplete. This is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. Shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto abhijayate. If one is unable to complete the process of bhakti yoga, he is given a chance in his next life to take birth in a pure family of devotees or in a rich family. In such families, a person can have a good opportunity to further progress in devotional service. When Yamaraja, the superintendent of death, was instructing his assistants, he told them not to approach the devotees. The devotees should be offered respect, he said, but do not go near them. Thus, the devotees of the Lord are not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraja. Yamaraja is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he controls the death of every living entity. Yet he has nothing to do with the devotees. Simply by blinking his eyes, time personified can destroy the entire cosmic manifestation, but he has nothing to do with the devotee. In other words, devotional service which is rendered by the devotee in this lifetime can never be destroyed by time. Such spiritual assets remain unchanged, being beyond the influence of time. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Yatra Nirvishtamaranam Kritanto Nabhimanyate Vishvam Vidvam Sayanvirya Shaurya Vispurjita Bruva. Simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter at your lotus feet. So, with the blessings of the senior devotees present here, I'll try to share some of my understanding of the subject matter. So, the invincible time cannot approach the devotee because Krishna personally protects all the devotees' assets. Krishna himself says so in the Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says he carries personally to the devotee whatever the devotee might be lacking. That's yoga. And then kshema, Krishna protects, keeps intact whatever devotee has. Yeah? So Krishna personally sees to the devotee's yoga and kshema. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that the devotee's achievement is never destroyed. That is that comes from that verse, Neha bhikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So in that endeavor there is no loss or diminution. Nasha, loss, or pratyavaya, diminution. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya, even if that dharma, sanatana dharma, is performed even a little bit, then trayate mahato bhayat, it delivers one from the most dangerous fear. And in the commentary it is explained that fear is death. So the point is made is that whatever you achieve by the performance of bhakti will go with you, and whatever else is there, it will stay. You will have to leave it. Yeah? This is the time. Time I am the destroyer of the world. Kalosmi loka kshaya krit pravriddho. I'm very, very big. This is the words of the Vishvarupa in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Loka kshaya krit. I destroy the world. I destroy the world. There is another, in Kathopanishad, it is explained how Kala takes his meal, time devours, how, and it is explained how Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are the rice of Kala. I don't know, for some reason, Vaishyas and Shudras are not mentioned, but anyway, they're somewhere there. They are the rice, and then Upashechana, the sauce, the curry, what you put, is Mrityu. So in this way, the death, yeah? So in this way, time, it takes its meal, yeah, in the form of everybody and everything. Time, Kala, is the energy of the Lord, is regulated. It is regulated by Paramatma, like any other energy of this material world. Mrityu Sarva Harascha Aham, to show the materialistic living entities that they are not the controllers. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada many times said that if you refuse to bow down to the Lord voluntarily, you will have to bow down by force in the time of death. Yeah. That obeisance is that materialists pay when they collapse, it's not glorious. Yeah. But when the devotee voluntarily pays his obeisances to the Lord, it is glorious. So they meet Krishna in that form, and they are afraid of it. Yeah. What does it mean they meet Krishna? The point is that Krishna, or the material energy that acts under Krishna's direction, shows that they are not the controllers. In that way, there is the supreme controller, and they are not able to see Krishna, Krishna's personal form, and therefore they have no other choice but to see Krishna in the form of time, in the form of death. Yeah. So that's their darshan. That's what they are qualified for. So Krita Anta, in this verse, invincible time, Krita Anta, literally it means that which brings an end, yeah, to everything, Krita Anta. And Kala, there's an interesting, Ramanujacharya gives an etymology of the word Kala. He derives it from the verb Kalayati, that he glosses as Ganayati. Kalayati ganayati iti kala. Kala means that which counts. In other words, kala, it counts. It counts the remainder of your life. The counter. Yeah, it is working all the time. How many years are we dying? That's there in the chapter of the beginning of the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada explains how we count the years of our life, yeah? But actually, what is this count about? It's how many years you have been dying already? 25, 30 or more? That's the truth. And for some it's bitter truth, and some are just not disturbed by it. Dhira, yeah? Dhira satrana muhyati. Those who are sober, those who are not bewildered, they're not disturbed by it, because death is not sarvaharashchaham. It's not devotees don't see death in that way. Yeah? The example is given of a cat carrying kitten, and the same cat carrying mice in its jaws. So kitten feel very comfortable, very protected. My mother is carrying me. But the mice, they're just shocked or fear. They know the end has come. Yeah. So in the same way, materialists, when death is approaching, they are afraid. You know? They are scared to death to the degree that, yeah, they're scared to death. And the devotees, death is entrance to the spiritual realm. It's not sarvaharashchaham. It's something else. So we will discuss it now. Now there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, third chapter, text 17. Ayur harati vaipunsam udyan astam chayannasau tasyarta yat kshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. It is said that the sun takes away the duration of life of everyone by rising and setting. This is, if you want to know where is the watch for time, here it is, here's the arrow, yeah, the time, the sun, count your days. But except for those, it counts the time, the remaining time of everybody, except for those who spend yet kshanonita, who spend even kshana, even a moment, in hearing or discussing Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka Vartaya, Varta, the news of Uttama Shloka, the Katha, Krishna Katha. So Kshana, what is Kshana? Literally Kshana means, not literally but technically, Kshana means three Nimeshas. Nimesha is the time required to blink an eye. This is Nimesha. So Kshana is three such Nimeshas. So even that much time, if you spend hearing about Krishna, the time doesn't act on you in the way it acts on everybody else. This is quite a radical statement. Even three Nimeshas, even that much, and your life is successful. That's the point of the verse. Yat kshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. The text doesn't say, you know, that you spend a day or a week or a few years or even whole life. The text says just kshana. So here we remember Srila Prabhupada saying that people's life will become perfect if they read even one word from his books. That's why he was encouraging the devotees to distribute his books, because even a word read by them will make the life successful. Here's the proof. It is from the Bhagavatam. Yeah? 2.3.17 Ayur harati vaipumsam udyannastam chayannasau tasyarte yat kshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. According to the Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate truth, their life has become successful if they spend even a moment of their time in Krishna. So, why a moment makes whole life perfect? The acharyas comment on that verse, and Srila Prabhupada, in fact, he conveys many of the points in his commentary, is how sometimes we see a tree, and even if one branch of a tree has borne fruits, we say the tree has borne fruits, even if it's just one branch. So the whole tree is considered to have borne fruit. So in the same way, even one moment spent in such a perfect way in Krishna Katha makes the whole life successful. So then the point is, what to speak of those who spend not just one moment, but many moments, many years, or a whole life, then what to speak of them? Definitely, 200% their life is perfected. So the time doesn't exert its influence on them. But then somebody might object, still, how can you say so? We see they also leave their bodies. Is it not time's influence? But no, the point is that by leaving their bodies, they obtain their eternal life as associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. So time is not sarvaharashchaham. Time is sarvapradashchaham, you can say. It gives everything to them. It is the beginning of their eternal life. Not just another useless, purposeless existence for some time. Very temporary. So another example is given of how such devotees are free from the time's influence, giving donation. Yeah. So we invest our time. We can say we offer our time to Krishna. It's our offering. Whatever we do in devotional service, we offer our time to Him. So, and Krishna is the Supreme Person. He is the most worthy recipient of such an offering. And just as when we offer donations, it is said, Smriti Shastra says, if you offer donation to some kind of person, you get the same back. If you offer donation to a Brahmana, you get back twice. If you offer a donation to a learned Brahmana, you get back 100 times. And if you offer a donation to a Brahmana who knows all the Vedas, who knows everything, then you get back unlimitedly. The returns are unlimited. Can't count. So in the same way, Krishna is the most worthy recipient. So therefore, even if you give something to Krishna, you get back unlimitedly. If you give Krishna one moment, you get back unlimited, the eternity. That's what we wanted to prove. Here it is. That's the calculation. This is the calculation. So, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Radha Shyama Sundar. So the point is, the devotee gets his eternal life. In that way, it is proven. The time has no influence on him. So now the discussion, it opens up another topic, which is a very interesting topic of why still we see devotees, leaving their bodies or suffering birth, death, old age and disease. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has offered an explanation of so this is the point. The old age, death, disease, they are there even for a devotee, but they are not caused by a devotee's karma, which means kala. Kala, time, acts in response to your karma. It dispenses your karma. Finally culminating at death. But the devotee's death is not caused by karma and kala. I mean to say, a pure devotee. So why then is it there? Because the devotee's body is spiritual. It's not only spiritualized, but it is spirit. In other words, normally what we have with us in this world, which means our body, is what is called prarabdha karma, or the reactions that have been fructified. What you have to, you have no way but to experience it. It has already come into your life. This is prarabdha. So in this point, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is different from the Siddhantas of any other Vaishnava Sampradayas even. Because the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they state boldly that even the prarabdha karma is destroyed by bhakti. Whereas other Acharyas say that bhakti destroys any kind of karma except prarabdha karma. We have aprarabdha, kuta, bija, all those layers, subconscious layers. It destroys everything, but you still have to stay. With the proof, you still have to stay in the world, and you still have to die. That's what they say. So how do our acharyas explain that the devotee's prarabdha is destroyed? There is a verse also in the Namashtaka. Yad brahma sakshat kriti nishthaya api vinasham ayati vinana bhogai apaiti namas puranena tatte prarabdha karmeti viruti vedaha. The Vedas, they roar out, they scream out that the prarabdha karma is destroyed when nama manifests on one's tongue. when Nama manifests on one's tongue. So, yet Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishthaya Api Vinashamayati Vinana Bhogaihi. But the person who has realized Brahman, who is liberated by any other process, he is liberated, but he still has to experience his has to enjoy or suffer the prarabdha. Not a devotee on whose tongue nam manifests. So then the objection is, then once Shuddha Nama manifests on one's tongue, if the prarabdha is destroyed, the body should drop down dead? No? But we don't see, we do see pure devotees in this world chanting Shuddha Nama, and here they are in their body walking around. If they're chanting Shuddha Nama, it should destroy prarabdha, and the body is prarabdha karma. Why does not this body drops down? So the answer is, there are several answers offered by our acharya. So what Baladeva Vidyabhushan says is that he's kind of careful in his answer. He says that he's not as radical as Vishwanath Chakravarti. He says the Lord keeps prarabdha karma intact for his devotee, just so that such a pure devotee can stay in the world and preach. Something is needed to keep the devotee here, some hook. So prarabdha karma is that hook. It will keep the devotee in the world so that the devotee can preach to others about the Lord. So since it is spoken by the acharya, it must be true. We have to accept that conclusion too. But the thing is that it might happen for some devotees. Krishna might keep their prarabdha intact, and it will happen according to the scenario that Baladeva Vidyabhushan describes. But then on the other hand, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he says prarabdha is too destroyed, but what we see, the body of a devotee is maintained by the achintya shakti of nama. That's the answer. That's the final answer of the acharya. The nam, by his inconceivable potency, maintains this same body. The body doesn't drop, but the body transforms inconceivably into spiritual energy. Not just spiritualized, but spiritual. And the proof to that is one instance is Dhruva Maharaj. The example is given. In this self-same body, he attained the abode of the Lord, the Vaikuntha planet within this world, Dhruva Loka. The same body, he went there. He can't go to the spiritual world in the material body. Another point, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Pandavas are said to have attained the abode of the Lord in the self-same bodies. Another instance is the gopis. The gopis in Vraja Leela are special because these are the, and any, like any other souls who take birth as a result of their spiritual practice of bhakti, who take birth in Krishna's pastimes, they have attained what we call Vastu Siddhi. So it is already a perfection. Still, nevertheless, there are still some impurities, even at the point of Vastu Siddhi, and they have to be taken away. How? They are taken away when such a fortunate soul takes birth in Braja, in some Bhoma Leela, in one of the universes, by the association with Nitya Siddhas. Jiva becomes purified even from those minute, almost imperceptible, but traces of contamination. And when that contamination is removed fully, then the devotee is ready for Krishna's association. That was exemplified, that was illustrated by the pastime of the relatives stopping the gopis to join Krishna during the rasa dance. The verse say that the gopis, in their anxiety of being stopped forcibly by their relatives, husbands or elders, they gave up their bodies. The verse says so. They gave up their bodies. Now, it is explained that they didn't give up their bodies as we understand. They didn't drop down dead. It is proved because the same gopis later are mentioned to have joined Krishna's rasa dance another night. So we shouldn't conclude that they dropped down dead. What we should conclude from this is that their bodies, their, which is by the word body, we mean those lingering, last traces of contamination, they gave up those, by their hankering after Krishna, being unable to join him. That strong, that utkanta, that longing after Krishna, that eagerness for Krishna's association was intensified millions of times by the fact that they were stopped, and that burned their last impurities. So their bodies have become 100% nirguna sharira, 100% non-material, even not a atom remained of any contamination. And then when they were ready, they joined Krishna, when they were purified in that way, totally. So, such purification takes place in the spiritual world. So we can see that even the living entities who are not fully 100% pure are taken into Krishna's pastimes. And there, they undergo their final purification. It is like a king. The example is given. It is like a king. The servants, they take the best fruits for king's meal, for king to enjoy. And they see the tree, and most of the fruits on the tree are ripe. So they say, okay, let's collect the fruits. Let's pick the fruits, all the fruits from this tree. Even though some fruits may have still some green side to them, like mangoes. So what the servants will do? The servants will give to a king the fruits that are fully mature for his meal. And those fruits that are still a little hard, they will keep them for a day aside so that the king can enjoy them his next meal or the next day. So in the same way, Yoga Maya, she arranges for the devotee who is even not 100% purified, but let's say 99% or 98%, even those devotees are mercifully taken to join Krishna's pastimes. But then Yoga Maya keeps them aside. They should still get ripened, so that she can bring them directly into Krishna Leela. So this is what is happening in the spiritual world. So the point was that the devotee's body becomes spiritual even in this world. It is possible, even though the same form, the same body, visible body will be there, it is already considered spiritual. So that still, why doesn't the Lord take back home the devotees just like he did Dhruva or Pandavas? Why in most of cases we see that the devotees still have to undergo death, old age and so on? The answer which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving is that the Lord wants to conceal the power of bhakti in this way. That rahasya, that bhakti can do this miracle, has to stay rahasya, has to stay confidential, and therefore, just so that others will still keep on their opinions to themselves that the devotee has to experience his prarabdha, let them keep their opinions, the Lord makes it so that the devotee has to visibly or apparently die. Yeah, and another reason is that, which is actually a very important reason, and we have to consider it very deeply, is that such things which are considered normally a result of karma and kala, like old age, disease, and death, in case of pure devotees, they are there just so that their longing, their hankering for devotional service will increase. Yeah. It's all arranged so that their bhakti will grow more and more. You know, it's a kind of an impetus that the Lord arranges. Yeah. Very often, even we sometimes see what we feel when we fall sick, or something happens that we, you know, with our bodies that we can't perform our service. You know. It becomes very difficult to chant. We sometimes think, oh, I wish so much that I could do more devotional service, but this condition that my body is in does not allow me to do that. And that this thought, that desire, it's there in the heart, and it makes our longing more and more. Yeah, I wish I could do more service, but I'm here, have to take rest. I have to, you know, this disease has to go, but we feel that. So the same thing happens to the pure devotees too, yeah? In their bhakti, the intensity of their devotional service increases by means of such things as disease and old age and death also. So this is the point. Whatever happens in our life, you know, if we are sincere, if we have that desire to ultimately, if we have that desire to achieve pure devotional service, everything that happens in our life is happening in such a way as to move us closer to that goal. Yeah, Krishna is our friend, and he's moving the world around us in such a way that as to push us forward, to help us to go forward. Even very often it may seem like a negative, like a calamity. Yeah, for a devotee it is not a calamity, because it will increase his hankering and his love for Krishna. What's that prayer by Kunti? Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru. May these calamities happen again and again. Yeah, she's praying for that. So this is the death for a devotee. It is not sarvaharascha aham. Another important point, interesting description, is when Dhruva was going back to the spiritual world, Vimana came, sent from Vaikuntha, and just as he was about to board the plane, death personified came, and she came, and it is described that she came and she with folded hands, and she told Dhruva Maharaj, please accept me, how can I serve you? And Dhruva Maharaj told her, welcome, he told her. Sit for a moment. And she sat down, and Dhruva Maharaj closed his eyes. He remembered Vishnu, and he stepped on her head. He used her head as a step to the to the vimana. So this is the death for a devotee. It is a step to the eternal life with Krishna as his associate. So this is all I have prepared. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, please. Yeah. Yes, at the back, Mataji. The mic will come. Oh.
So you have made the example of the mother cat carry the mice and the kitten. So appear to them is as different. It's like the time to the mice is like death personified to the kitten. It's like a caring mother. So time is Krishna. So for non-devotee, for atheist or demon, like for example for Kamsa, Kamsa see the time as like a death personified. So I also heard a devotee quote an example that in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he displayed himself as time personified to the devotee. So can you explain a little bit about that? And second question.
What does Lord Chaitanya say?
No, I heard that in one pastime, Lord Chaitanya displayed himself to the devotee as time personified. But I'm not so clear about heaven.
I don't know. Oh. I don't know about that. I never read that.
Yeah. So maybe you can. I have second question.
Mm-hmm.
Second question is during the Rasa dance, the gopis dance with Krishna is as if like dance for one night only, but it's actually last for by Krishna's mercy. He fulfilled the desire of the gopis and dance with the gopi for many, many, in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So time, Krishna is time. Will Krishna be more favorable to his devotee is time act differently to devotee? Is there any example to other devotee, time act differently to devotee?
Oh, like you say, giving an example of the gopis dancing with Krishna for I think the night of Brahma,
yeah.
for that long, and they were not subject to time in that way.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So I guess in any pastime, whatever is happening, it is all example of that. Nitya Lila of the Lord, yeah. That everything there is an example. Yeah, it is Nitya. Huh? There's no end to these pastimes; they go on perpetually. Yeah, is what we see on the earth is a display. Yeah, is a kind of a display that follows the rules of the world, but it is not of the world. Yeah. It is kind of it's an advertisement for the conditioned souls so that they can be attracted and go back to the spiritual world. So any pastime you take, it is eternal. It is eternally going on. Yeah. Not just the rasa dance. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, one second, the mic. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for such a wonderful explanation of your time. But at the last moment of your class, you said, you give the example of Kunti Maharani. Like devotee, you give the example of Kunti Maharani.
Kunti,
And you give how she prayed that problems should come, or because Krishna, you are with us. But in like normal case of, let us, devotees like me who are trying to be a devotee, some problems comes. So should we think this is my prarabdha, or this, should we think that this is maybe my foolishness, that's why these problems are coming? So how the asadhaka should understand when the problems come? Or
how we should treat, how we should think of the calamities that happening in our life. So the attitude of a pure devotee is stated, is explained by Lord Brahma. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam. You know that hridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. So this is how a pure devotee should think. This is how they think. Always expecting, always longing for Krishna's mercy. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam. They think that this is the result of my past deeds. This is how devotees always think. Yeah? And in this way, in this mental state, thinking that whatever happening in their life is the result of their past deeds, they stay in the world and they hridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste. They worship Krishna with their hearts, with their words, and with their bodies. And this way they inherit the eternal life. So even if the Siddhanta is there, stated by the Acharyas, that in a case of a pure devotee who is 100% pure, whatever happens in his life, it's not caused by not caused by his karma. It is directly arranged by Krishna, even though it may look like karma. The devotee will never think himself, I am a liberated devotee and this is not my karma, this is caused by the Lord. And they will always, pure devotees, they always non-presumptuous, yeah. They don't think too much about themselves, even though that's what makes them very great. So this is the mental attitude that they adopt, and this is how they actually feel, yeah. The songs of Bhaktivinoda and Narottama, yeah? It's not that they wrote these songs so that, you know, just to help us feel that way, so humble, I'm so fallen, yeah? So, but this is actually how they felt, you know? So we should, you know, take note of it, and we should never think ourselves to be free from our karma, even though it may be truth, still, yeah. And then in that humble state of mind, one can feel love. If one is not humble, if there is no dainya, if there is no utter humility, love is not experienced, because then one thinks one has deserved. I have deserved. Yeah? Then there is no feeling, there is no perception of compassion from the Lord, yeah, then bhakti is not possible once we think we have deserved. So.
Yeah. And lastly, when you explain about Dhruva Maharaj, like how he put his feet on death personified. So, can you explain it a little more, like how should we understand Dhruva Maharaj, like attitude towards this death personified? As you said that she was standing with folded hand. So if you can explain it more, because something I'm like feeling why Dhruva Maharaj did like this.
Dhruva Maharaj, well, he accepted her service. And he put his feet on her head, on the death's head, to board the plane. Yeah. So I don't know. She came to offer service. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhuji, there. Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
There's bhakti yoga, and then there's karma, jnana. So I was wondering, is there like an evolutionary process? I mean, based on karma, you were talking about karma as well. Is there a process that you advance slowly, slowly from, I don't know what is the lowest, maybe you start with karma, then you go to jnana and then dhyana, but is it possible to arrive by to bhakti in that karmic evolutionary process somehow, or is it just by the devotees? I mean, I know that by the mercy of the devotee, but does it, do you get what I mean? I mean, is bhakti possible by karma?
I understand. Yeah, this is explained. This is the general progression. You have karma kanda, then karma yoga, then in karma yoga you have two stages, sakam karma and nishkam karma. Yeah, when depending on the purity of consciousness, and then when one performs nishkam karma without attachment, as a matter of duty, as an offering, then it slowly elevates one in knowledge, then jnana, then one rises on the platform of jnana, and then bahunam janmanam ante jnana vanmam prapadyate, then many, many lifetimes of being a jnani one, ultimate vasudeva sarvamiti, one understands that vasudeva is everything. So such evolution of, going through the rings in that ladder, it is there, it is explained, but ultimately bhakti, comes in one's life. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is independent, and Bhakti Devi can influence one, even if one is below Vedic civilization, which the acharyas, they start their gradation from karma kanda, because that was the cultural circumstance at that time, But then nowadays we have even, below that, chandala, mlecha, and whatever, and this is most of the world. So we see practically, with our own eyes how people adopt bhakti, right from that lowest situation, and they become the most exalted souls. So all these processes, as Srila Prabhupada says, karma, jnana, and so on, they are useless without devotional service. The fact that the karmis get their result, and the fact that the jnanis get their result, karmis get what's the ultimate aspiration? Svargaloka, You can have low-grade karmis who aspire for something in the world, but the actual hardcore karmi wants to go to Svargaloka. Then jnani aspire for liberation. But it is explained that they get this just because within those processes there is some upasana, there is some worship involved, Some worship must be there. Without that, karma is unable to yield its fruit. Jnana is unable to yield liberation. Bhakti must be there. But bhakti is, in those processes, it is goni, it's gona, it is secondary, it's not pradhana. It is secondary. It is just like a Indra, fully depends on Vamana Dev. But Vamana is, I'm the younger brother. And Vamana sits there humbly in Indra's assembly. Vamana is also there with Bali, in that Patala. But another form of Vamana is with Indra. And he's, Indra does sometimes feel, he's my younger brother. But then he's fully dependent on it. So in the same way, karma and jnana fully dependent on bhakti in yielding their respective results. So the point is, this is the point, Akama sarva kamava. One should worship Krishna. And this is encouraged by any means, because and in the course of following their individual paths, these karmis and jnanis, they sooner or later they'll come in touch with devotees. And in this way, there will be some opportunity to start bhakti by offering, unknowingly or knowingly, offering some service. So, Hare Krishna. So anything else? Okay. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.